This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Let's get into the word. I would like for you to rise this morning. We are going to read the scriptures together. Amen, somebody. I want to read the scriptures with you this morning. So what's going to happen is we're going to look at NLT translation. And what we want to do is we're going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to read from 3 to 14. NLT. 3 to 14. What is going to happen this morning, church, is I will read the first one, which is 3, and then the church together, you will read the 4. And then I will read the next, you will read the next. Are we good? Do we understand? So this morning, let me start. It says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. And God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave, somebody say forgave, and forgave our sins. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. What is the plan? Hallelujah. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he make everything work out according to his plan. Not just the Jews, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He said he did this. He did this. Look, the most beautiful thing in my life, the most beautiful thing in your life is the fact that you have been purchased. You have been purchased out of debt. You have been purchased out of disease. You have been purchased out of poverty. You have been purchased out of damnation. You have been purchased out of the pits of hell. The greatest thing about me, Joy Sunny, the greatest thing about you, April Aguola for now, the greatest thing about you, Wale, is the fact that you have been purchased. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is something called the finished work of Jesus Christ. And he says we have all of these things. Look at the end of what you read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. We have all this. He says he did this so that we would praise and glorify his name. There is nothing left to be done except to glorify the name of the Lord. Come on, put your hands together. Jam your hands together this morning as you take your seats, not here, but in the heavenly places. Seated above, as you are seated here this morning, you are seated above, not just above, far above principalities, far above powers, hallelujah, so that you can glorify his name. Last week, we talked about several things. We mentioned last week that the message of the scripture, the message of the Bible is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We said that in John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said. We further on said that in John 16 verse 12 says, I have yet many things, speaking to the disciples. Hallelujah. In scripture reading, you must be able to know what is for you and what is not for you. Amen. It's not everything in the scripture that is for you that are seated here right now. So this is saying, it says, John 16 verse 12 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. This is what Jesus was saying to his disciples before his death. He was saying that there are so many things that I want to tell you, but I cannot tell you them right now. He says, he further went on and said that I am going to send the Holy Spirit to you, who I am sending in my name, and he is going to bear witness about me. And when I am gone, he will be here with you, and he will teach you all things. You are after the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So when Jesus says to you that there are things I want to tell you, but I can't tell you now, he's not talking to you. He's talking to those before his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But you are favored of the Lord. Say to yourself, I am favored of the Lord. Why are you favored of the Lord? You are favored of the Lord because you are a beneficiary of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the ascension. The reason why I always mention the ascension is because the scripture said something. It says, when he ascended, he gave what? Gifts unto men. Hallelujah. So there is a blessing in his burial. There is a blessing in his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. I mentioned very specifically last week that it is important for us to know that it's not everything that we need to ask for. There are some things that is already done. There are things we don't need to ask for. They are already done. On the cross, it was done. The Bible says that when he died, there was something significant that happened. so that you can have the place that you have in the heart of the Father. There is something so significant when Jesus hung his head and said, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost. The Bible says that there was a tearing of the tent from the top all the way to the bottom. Look, peradventure, they say, okay, well, we still have to kind of struggle to get in. It only tore on the top, or it tore in the middle, or it only tore on the bottom. We have to tear the rest. There is nothing left to be torn. Whatever that English is, whatever. That's not my point this morning. My point is, he tore it from the top to the very bottom. Why? Access. 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 The access gives us the authority to know one thing. There are some things that are already done. Why are you asking again? This morning, I'm speaking to you about your prayer life. Our prayer life as Christians, mature Christians, it needs to improve. We should pray about certain things, and there are certain things we must stop wasting time praying for. And we need to learn a new language in our prayer closet. One thing that we have to do is read scripture accurately. The Bible says he was wounded. He is not going to be wounded. He has already been wounded on your behalf and my behalf. It's not something that is futuristic. It has already happened. It is in the past. It is past tense. Whatever is in the past tense, you that you're sitting here this morning should be a beneficiary of what has already happened. Let me give you a practical example. If I remember, there was a man who passed away in this city, and by the time he passed away, we discovered later that he left absolutely nothing for his wife. There are so many types of insurances. They have a death insurance. Let's not even talk about life insurance yet. There is something called a death insurance, which if you die, the burial arrangements, you have an insurance that you can take out to handle that. Guess what? If you don't have an insurance, any kind of insurance, you're leaving your spouse and your children with a serious liability, because the government doesn't just pick up your body. Amen. Amen. I remember that scripture that says, let the dead, the scripture that talked, Jesus was saying that, let the dead go and bury their dead. The dead has, somebody is responsible for that dead body. Amen. And so if you don't have insurance, you will suffer concerning the things that will happen after the death. There is still life after death. And then there are what they call life insurance, and you can take on different types of life insurance, whole, term, all kinds of different names that they have. Now, when an individual dies, there is what they call beneficiary. And so you find all manners of people doing evil things, like wanting their spouse to die before time. Oh my God, because of beneficiary. So I noticed that the people that have that kind of mind obviously don't have the mind of Christ, because though they are beneficiaries, they plan the death, they suffocate the man, they suffocate the woman, they make it look like it was an accident, and so that they can benefit from that. But let's talk about the people who did it right. If someone has a life insurance, the reason why they have a life insurance, whether male or female, is to ensure that when they are gone, they are not leaving a major liability on the people that they said they love. I'm preaching to you too about the natural things. If you don't already have it, you need to. If you say you love your spouse and you don't have a life insurance, you're going to leave them with a terrible, terrible headache. A very terrible headache, because not only do they have to worry about burying you, which is almost $10,000 or more dollars to do this, to buy the land where they're going to bury you, to buy the coffin, to everything. Most of us in our culture, we feel the fact that we are planning this, meaning that we're planning our death. That means I'm saying I'm going to die, and I'm not going to die, so I don't have to worry about that. That is very, very wrong. But let's get back to the reason why I gave you that example. The people who benefit from that, what has already happened, it is something that the person who died put in place already, so that when he is long gone, the people that are still alive will benefit from it. So all you have to do is fill out paperwork. You don't file for the person that's already dead. You cannot take out an insurance on someone who is already dead. You must take it out while they are alive. So there are certain things, sir, that you cannot do after death. Do you agree with me, Brother Alex? My God. Hallelujah, somebody. I'm feeling myself. Hallelujah. Because I'm preaching this thing. Hallelujah. Y'all ain't going to encourage me. I'm going to encourage myself. Glory to God. I don't need y'all to encourage me. I'm just kidding. I'm saying about our prayer life and the fact that we need to change our language in the place of prayer. We must stop praying like those that do not know what they have. A person who their father gave them an inheritance of maybe a car and and they put it in a Bible and they said, oh, son, I want you to have this. And he's looking at it like, this is stupid. Out of everything you have, all you can find to find me is paper. Paper inside a box called Bible. And he threw the Bible in somewhere in the room and didn't realize that his inheritance is inside the Bible. All he had to do was open it. But he didn't do it for a very long time. How is it that we, if we don't know something, then we are one way. But we must mature as Christians. We must know that there are some things we already have. It is under the umbrella of the finished work of Christ. So I was using that scripture as an example. It says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, please finish it for me. Are you going to be healed? We were healed. When he died, that healing was made available. Hallelujah. So in the place of prayer, we should never be crying. Let me know the reason why we are crying. No, ma. When you are crying, know the reason why you're crying. Are you crying because you don't believe? Or you're crying because you just want it to happen? Which crying are you crying? There's a proverb in your language that says that if you are crying, also look, make sure you can see. Praise God. Know the reason why you're shedding tears. A lot of us, when we're praying, we are shedding tears. When it's a difficult thing to you, you shed tears. Can somebody please tell me why we're crying in the place of prayer? Why? Anybody, just shout it out at me. Let's make it an interactive service. Why do we shed tears in the place of prayer? Holy Spirit take over. That's a valid one. But let's be real. Like, why, when, so the Holy Spirit can take over, but there's some prayer. Huh? Desperate. What else? Somebody please shout something at me. Pardon me? Unbelief sometimes can make us cry. Scared. Shock me. Shock me. We're scared. Most of our prayer, we're scared. Is it going to be answered? That's what really it is. Last Sunday, I told you about how I really believed and I believed and I believed concerning my daughter, my twin daughters, that I was going to receive twins. How many people was here last week when I was saying that? Let me tell you another incident that happened to me. So I know that every walk of life in Christianity is truly a walk. It's a progress. And it's important, as long as we're making progress, it's important to keep on going in that right direction. We must, my focus for us this morning is that we must not be stagnant in prayer. We must have understanding to move beyond being scared. So after I had my twins, maybe they were like 2 weeks old. One of them had a cold. The first one that came out had a cold. And so I went to the African store in those days here in the city. And the lady that owned the store said that all you have to do is get eucalyptic oil. It's a very strong, potent oil. And you just take a few drops and put it on their head. And so as I was, you know, I purchased it and I went home and I tried. The baby was sleeping. One of them, I had both of them on the bed. The one that had the cold was sleeping. So I was thinking, okay, I don't want to lift her up to wake her up. I'm just going to do it while she's sleeping and try to put it on her head. The eucalyptic oil was about this big of a vial and it was very strong. Once I opened the top myself, I saw how strong this thing was. So it doesn't have a stopper. You know, like there's some stoppers where you can drop the oil. It didn't have that stopper, so I'm supposed to use my hand to control it to put it on the baby. So I had the baby on the bed instead of me, new mother in my 20s, instead of me to lift the baby. I wasn't even a nurse. I was a CNA. Lift the baby's head and try to do that. While the baby was on the bed, I tried to, something that doesn't have a stopper, I would try to put it on the baby's head. It poured all over the face. The entire bottle fell out of my hand and poured all over her head, all over her face. The child in that moment opened her eyes and you know everything was red. She was not breathing. In that moment, it was like it was slow motion or stop. And I heard the devil come to me, ask me a question. Is that Taye Lolu? And I saw myself having a conversation with the devil. I said, yes, it is. He said, didn't your mother's Taye die? The devil, it was like a frozen time. And here I am, the child's face was still like this. And here it is, the devil in my ear telling me something. And when we are in our time of trouble. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of a trouble where you don't know where your help is going to come from. And then here comes the devil introducing ideas into your head. And so the devil said to me, is this not Taye that this is happening to? I said, yes, this is Taye. He said, is it not your mom? Is your mom not kindy? Her Taye died. I said, yes. The devil said that in this moment, this is how this Taye is going to die. All of a sudden, it seemed like everything started going again. And I saw the child. I did not know anything else to do. The father was only a seat away from me. He was on the computer. I couldn't call him to say, I am in hot fire. I just picked up the child, went to the bathroom, and started trying to put water on the child's face, trying to get the eucalyptic oil. The more I did that, the more her eyes was popping out of her head. The only thing I knew to say was, Jesus. So it was my scream that made my husband realize something was happening. I started shouting. I didn't have any other thing. I couldn't say anything. I shouted and shouted, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My mother-in-law came running in. My husband came running to the bathroom, took the child from me, said I should go and call 911. Me, call 911. I managed to dial the number because it's only 3. 911. The person came on the line and was saying, what's the emergency? I said, my baby, she can't breathe. My baby, what's your address? We have finished everything. What's my address? I don't know my address. Come, come, come. What's your address? We need, please tell us what your address. I can't, address. I think 911, they need to change their ways. Nonsense. You already, how can you be asking me my address when I've watched a movie that you can trace it? I'm in distress. It's changed now. I'm in distress. You're asking me for my, I don't know my address. I can't think. I could not think of anything. What was wrong with me in that moment? Back to what we're talking about in here. I was afraid because of what the devil told me. I didn't know that I can authorize. I didn't know that I can invoke what Christ has already done on Calvary. I was afraid in the midst of my prayer. Even though I couldn't say any other prayer, my mother-in-law started praying, everybody's supposed to say, our prayer was out of fear. It was generated out of fear. Now, it's very easy for me to stand up here and tell you that when you're in the midst of trouble, you should not be afraid. Just pray. You should not be afraid. It's not easy. I'm not telling you it's easy. But the moment we start now meditating on the finished work of Christ, when we meditate on what Christ has done, look, there's this another example that they said, you know, there was a man who was a preacher. And he was preaching, but Alex, preaching. And, you know, Nigeria, ceiling fan, there was no ACs, no central air. Ceiling fan. And so he was like, and this, call the name of Jesus. Call the name of Jesus. When something happened to you, call the name of Jesus. And as he was doing all his gymnastics, his hand went into the fan. Guess the name that he called? Shango. When in the time of distress, the real matter, it came out. Let our Christian walk not be a facade. Let our Christian life not be a facade. Maybe for some of us, we're not going to call the name of Shango. An African god, for those that don't know what that is. An African god that is carved but does not have ears to hear and eyes to see, but they just carved there. We may not call that name, but I have seen many people who under distress, they want an answer so bad, they go and say, well, let's look into other things as well. Let's look into other things. Let's go. They have a word that they use. Let's go into this area also. Yeah, prayer can be too much. We're going this direction. So if you were raised Muslim, you're going to call the Afas to come and be doing their own. Call the Christians, do their own. Aladuras, do their own. Selects, do their own. Everybody, Natura, they call it. They try to make it look good. Packaging. Natura, do their own. So you go in all directions. Why? You are being ruled with fear because you refuse to believe the finished work of Christ. It is done. All you have to do is say, in the name of Jesus, the manifestation of this healing, move in this body. So am I saying that we should, you know, it's going to be impossible to you know, when you're in distress, you're not going to be scared. I'm not saying you're going to be scared. You're not going to be scared. What I am saying is this is the time to program our heads in the things that we believe so that when we are in the situation that requires speaking, we are speaking aright. So we're not just saying, and I'm just using healing as an example. Healing is not only the benefit of the finished work of Jesus Christ. There is so many blessings in there. So when we now are in a situation, we are not saying, Lord, please heal and deliver. He did that. So what do I pray for you, Ma, when you are in distress? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because she is healed. And we say right now, let the manifestation be seen in this body. Let the manifestation be seen in this body. Instead of saying, Lord, heal, say, receive your healing. Receive your healing. So when the baby is crying, and they are in distress, hold your baby in your arms and say, Adetomilala, receive your healing. Receive your healing. It was given to you on the cross of Calvary. Receive it. The same thing with what I said last week, with you put your hand in your pocket and you bring out empty. Begin to make declarations. Most of our prayer is not asking, but in declaration of what he has done. So we'll say, well, Pastor Josh, you know, you're always going off the deep end when it comes to certain things, because Jesus did say to them, ask and you shall receive. Yes, Jesus said that before he died. Jesus said before he died, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. I'm still here. In that time that he was saying that, he was a savior in theory. Some people are going to be like, oh my God, what do you mean? He was a savior in theory. Sir, he had not died yet. He came into the world as our savior. The assignment is not completed yet. He's still walking with them. And so he is still a savior then, in that moment, in theory. So it was when he died, the death on the cross had all the answers in it. It is called in Christ. So now there are some, we must have the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to know the difference between what we now ask for and what we receive. There are some things that we that are here now, you are different, as a continuation of last week, you are different from the disciples called Peter, James, Paul, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You are different from them because what they experienced was the natural, Brother Alex. They experienced the natural Jesus. Natural meaning they walked with him. They ate with him. They did all these things with him. But you know him by the Spirit. You know him by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, which is superior to experience. The Bible says, there are things that I want to tell you. That's what Jesus said. But I can't tell you now. Talking to those disciples. Why? He said, you cannot bear them now. You will not be able to take it. I need to die. I need to be buried. I need to be raised from the dead. And I need to ascend. And then he said, I will send the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything else. There's some things I'm telling you now, but I'm not telling you everything. He said to them, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will now tell you all of it, because then you have the capacity to be able to handle it. You have the Holy Spirit. You have salvation. You have the blessings that is going to come out of my death. There is a benefit. That benefit is called the purchase. No matter if, you know, in those days of American slavery, no matter how much somebody goes to the house of another slave master and desire that slave, wow, this slave works really hard. Wow, this is a good slave. I want this slave. This slave is good. He can desire that slave as much as he wants, but until he does the paperwork and purchase the slave, and there is a paper that is done and is written out that now you have purchased this slave, you have all authority over this slave. It was his death that gave us that authority. It was his death that gave us that purchase, that separated us from those that were before. It was the benefit in his death that made us be able to have the things that he was saying they have to ask for. We don't ask, we receive. I hope I'm making sense. They ask, we receive. Why? What is the factor that made a difference? Jesus was the game changer. Between asking, then Jesus happened, now receiving. Because Jesus before then was telling them, ask like everybody else has been doing. in that dispensation. Jesus Christ was born in the law. And so everything that he was saying to them mostly was telling them that these things you need to do. But when I die, it's a game changer. When I die, the Holy Spirit will begin to show you different things that I can't tell you now. Receiving it. So then what do we ask for? Let's look at the scripture. Let's look at the scripture. How, what do we ask for? Most things, as I mentioned, we need to switch from saying, Lord, please give me, to Lord, thank you for it. You have done it. I receive it. It's a gift. Amen. You receive a gift. Amen. When somebody gives you a gift, you say, thank you. Somebody cannot buy me Mac product, the whole set, in a gift box. And then I open and say, can you please give me Mac products for my birthday? These are the Mac products in front of you. I just gave it to you. Can you please give me Mac products for my birthday next year? But I just gave you Mac products. This is what we're doing to Jesus. Can you please give me Mac products for my next birthday? But I just gave you the Mac products. And we keep doing the same thing. Instead of saying, Jesus, thank you for the Mac products. I receive it. Then you take it and you begin to use it. We are stuck in the, Jesus, can you please do it for me? And he's saying, I have already done it. Say thank you. There's a proverb that says that those that know how to thank, they always get more. Thank him for it and begin to use it. Instead of keeping the Mac product on your shelf, I hope I'm relating. I hope I'm making sense. I hope I'm communicating. You keep the Mac product on your shelf and you keep asking, for my next birthday, can you get me Mac products? But I gave you Mac products. That is what Jesus is saying to us. We need to move from being a baby Christian to a mature Christian. Let me tell you, we are so used to gymnastics that we don't want to give it up. If we are in the place of prayer and we're not sweating and we don't feel like we've done anything, we haven't done anything. If we haven't sweat, if we haven't messed up our makeup, messed up until Brother Alex prays and take off his clothes. Sir, you are not Peter. Peter could do that. All I have to do is say, Lord, I thank you, and I receive it. You're not going to the place of prayer, going in what do they call it? You know, like when Solomon said that, I saw an abomination under the sun. I saw princes walking and servants on horses. That's what we do, because the devil understands that he educates his demons to let them understand that these people, they don't get it. So let's continue to torment them. And so they feel like they're the ones riding horses. Whereas we are the princes. We're walking on foot because we lack understanding and we lack knowledge. And so it is important for us to go back and get back what the devil stole from us, which is knowledge, wisdom, understanding, to know that when I am in a place of prayer, I am there not to be asking, but with authority that Jesus Christ won for me when he purchased my freedom. That freedom, when the tent rent from the top to the bottom, it gave me access. It gave me authority. It gave me confidence to say, this is mine. This is mine. That one is mine. Whatever you're praying for, change your tone. Change your language to, Lord, give me. Lord, do it. to, Lord, I acknowledge, first of all, that you have done it. This thing, I know you've done it because your word says that you did it on Calvary. It's part of my blessing, the blessing I got from your death, your burial, your resurrection, and your ascension. And so I'm thanking you for it because I know that you have done it. I receive it. I claim it. It is mine. I'm no longer going to ask because you've done. I'm no longer going to ask because you have what? What do we then ask for? Thank you, Jesus. What do we then ask for? Let's look at the same Ephesians, we're going to read verse 15, and we'll continue reading. It says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. Remember, this is Paul. Paul says the first thing is, I'm thanking God for you. And then he says, I pray. This is how to pray now. For you constantly asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom. Let's pause there for a second. It is spiritual wisdom that's going to let you know what is your inheritance. Hallelujah. It's just a glass. Let's get back to Jesus. Amen. It says, I am praying that God gives you spiritual wisdom. What do you need it for? To know what your inheritance are, so that you can change in the way where how you receive the inheritance. When you know what you have through spiritual wisdom, Sheol, you will go from asking to what? Because you know you have it. Because you know you have it. We, and I've been saying it, I hope it's not, no one is being disrespected when I say it. We need to stop wasting time in the place of prayer. We're not doing anything. You gotta, Lord, please. You have it in the Mac, it's in the Mac box. It says, I pray, where are we? That you have what? Spiritual wisdom and what? Insight, so that you might what? Grow in what? Your knowledge of God. Look, when the Bible talks about the blessing is complete. It is total. You have it. How do you get it? Receive it. Lord, I claim this. It is mine. You're not asking. Look at this. Solomon prophesied about us, saying, I saw an evil. Solomon was able to see in the future. He said, I saw an evil under the sun. What is the evil? He mentioned many evil, but this particular one, he said, I saw servants riding on horses and princes walking about. Jesus, please do it. Please do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. He's done it. Somebody say, he's done it. He's done it. It is that we will get insight so that we know that we change our position from here to here. Lord, I receive it. I thank you for what you did on the cross of Calvary. Devil, you ain't got nothing on me. Hallelujah. I receive my breakthrough because Jesus paid for it. I receive my blessing. I receive that A. I receive that wife. I receive that husband. Don't receive somebody else's, please. Like the pastor, like the man who came to the church and saw one of pastor's wives like myself that don't wear a ring. And then he came, he said, I just want to buy you some donuts. They had a cafe. And he took her over. He's been asking, I just want to buy you donuts. So she's like, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. I can't. Finally, she said, Okay, you want to buy me donuts so that you don't lose your blessing. Let's go and eat the donuts. So they sat down. He was saying, you know, I have prayed. And the Lord said that you are my wife. And the pastor's wife just pushed the donuts forward. Went like this. And walked away. So what am I saying in essence? In your, you know, now that you have power, receive. I receive, Pastor Joyce. You can't receive what is not yours. I'm not part of the package. Or you're saying, I receive Ifagbala in the name. Ah, you have missed it. You can't receive what is not yours. Receive. That's why the Bible says that you will have spiritual wisdom. An insight in the revelation of God that you may be able to know this one is mine. That one is mine. I receive it. I claim it. I'm not walking downcasted, hands down, shoulders down as defeated. I'm not defeated because Christ was also the one that says, I will be triumphant in your place. And so because Jesus is triumphant, I am triumphant in Christ. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Let us mature as Christians. Stop being afraid of the devil. Ask and you shall receive. But he's now telling you, receive, because I've done it. You've asked those before you have asked. Now he's done it. You receive it. You're beneficiaries. Hallelujah. You are what? Beneficiaries of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.